When Isabel I of Castile and Fernando II of Aragon married in 1469, neither of them could have known with certainty how deeply their partnership would transform the Iberian Peninsula. Their wedding did not instantly create Spain, nor did it immediately unite the kingdoms over which they would eventually rule. The political map of the peninsula remained complex, divided among territories with different laws, institutions, languages, customs, and historical traditions. Yet the marriage of Isabel and Fernando marked the beginning of a new era. Over the following decades, their alliance would strengthen royal authority, reshape relations with the nobility, complete the conquest of the last Muslim kingdom in Iberia, expand diplomatic influence across Europe, and lay the foundations for a monarchy capable of projecting power far beyond the peninsula. The story of the Catholic monarchs is often told as a triumphal narrative of national unification. In reality, their rise was far more complicated. Isabel and Fernando did not inherit a stable political structure. They entered a world of civil conflict, aristocratic rivalries, disputed succession, economic tensions, religious anxieties, and regional divisions. Their success depended not only on military strength but also on patience, calculation, political intelligence, and an unusually effective personal partnership. Although they ruled together, they did not always share identical priorities. Their relationship combined affection, ambition, diplomacy, and practical compromise. They were not romantic symbols removed from the harsh realities of power. They were rulers shaped by uncertainty, determined to survive, and prepared to make decisions that would leave both admirable and deeply troubling legacies. To understand Isabel's rise, it is necessary to examine the fragile condition of Castile during her youth. Castile was the largest and most populous Christian kingdom in the Iberian Peninsula. Its land stretched across a vast area, from the northern mountains to the frontiers near the Muslim kingdom of Granada. It possessed agricultural wealth, important cities, a growing wool trade, and significant commercial connections with northern Europe. Yet Castile was also politically unstable. Powerful noble families controlled extensive estates and private armies. Royal authority often depended on alliances that could shift rapidly. Court factions competed for influence, and succession disputes threatened to divide the kingdom. Isabel was born on April 22, 1451, in the Castilian town of Madrigal de las Altas Torres. Her father was Juan II of Castile, a monarch whose reign had been dominated by noble rivalries and court intrigue. Her mother, Isabel of Portugal, became increasingly withdrawn after her husband's death. Isabel's early childhood was not spent amid the confidence and luxury that might be expected of a future queen. After Juan II died in 1454, the throne passed to Isabel's half-brother, Enrique IV of Castile. Isabel and her younger brother, Alfonso, lived with their mother under relatively modest conditions in Arevalo. Their position was uncertain. They were royal children, but they were not at the center of power. Enrique IV faced serious challenges from the beginning of his reign. He struggled to control the Castilian nobility, and his personal reputation became the subject of relentless political attacks. His critics accused him of weakness and indecision. They also questioned the legitimacy of his daughter, Juana, born in 1462. Juana's enemies claimed that her biological father was not Enrique but one of the king's favorites, Beltrán de la Cueva. For that reason, they mockingly called her La Beltranilla. Whether the accusation was true mattered less than the political opportunities it created. In medieval and early modern politics, rumors could become weapons. Juana's legitimacy became the central issue in a succession crisis that would determine the future of Castile.